Now, I won't be surprised that our speaker tonight comes up and... I think we scared him off. He ran into the kitchen. Our speaker for tonight is that man that we all love. He has studied the Bible. He knows it, and he's not one of those speakers that picks stuff out of the Bible to scare you with. He's just a good, wonderful sort of a character that shares his knowledge with us, and it's Dan Hare.
Thank you. So I come down, and for those of you who have been here before, I bring my little MacBook, right? I've got my little scriptures in front of me, and so I come down and I open it up, and it's on the internet, and I don't have it. So I've got a backup. I love technology. That's just amazing. You know, there's a movie that I was thinking about this on the way down that I love, and I tried to figure out why I love it so much. And it's the Godfather series. Remember the old mafia picture? And remember Marlon Brando, and he says, and he nods to somebody, and then something catastrophic happens. You know, and I thought to myself, what is it about the character that's so appealing to me? Because he's a bad guy, he kills people. And I thought, wow, that's really strange. That it's the power. The guy had power. Power versus force. He could just nod. He didn't even have to speak loud. Remember that movie Ocean's 11? Yeah. I remember when George Clooney goes up and he's talking to the casino owner, and the guy is almost whispering. And he says, "You better do this or it's your last day," that type of thing. He didn't like get mad and frantic and, you know, yell and scream and curse and say, "I'm going to get you." He just said, looked at him with this knowing and this power. If you don't do this, you better da da da. Well, we're coming to the section break in the book of Ephesians. And I'll tie this in, I promise. And the verse that we're going to get to tonight, and I think it's a fabulous verse. It says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the dynamic power that works within us." Power. I love that. Not to kill people, but to have the ability to make something happen that you desire and you intend. All right? And so as we approach our lesson tonight, I want to kind of give you a framework, because we're at the end of chapter 3, the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul. And if you remember, Paul was kind of he's often accused of being a hard-nosed old guy. And if you'll recall, in the early days, he was a murderer. He thought this thing called the way was the bad deal. He thought it was blasphemous. And so he went around ordering the execution of Christians. And it wasn't until he had this incredible encounter with God, this personal encounter. And I must say that it was something that only God could think of. Walking down a road, the light shines from heaven, and it was so powerful it blinded him. And he said, "Who is this?" And he said, "Paul," or Saul was his name before his conversion. He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he looked and he said, "Lord, is that you?" Said, "Yeah, that's me." And I don't think it was a loud encounter. I think it was a bright light. But I think it was this encounter that was very real, very intimate, and very dynamic. And from that day, Paul changed. His heart changed. He was so intent that he was doing the right thing until he had that personal encounter with God to shift his thinking a little bit. And I just wonder how many people in this room, myself included, because remember, one finger out, three back, how many of us have gone down a road thinking we're on the right path, doing the right thing, and we're kind of a little bit strong-willed, self-willed, and it takes God to shine his light out of heaven Now, some of you might haven't had that yet. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But the reality is, I think oftentimes we can get ourselves so worked up into dogmatic stuff. This is the way it is. And it might be a tape that whoever raised you, your mom, your dad, your grandmother, grandfather, your neighbor, your teacher, and they said, hey, you got to do it this way, you got to do it this way, blah, blah, blah. And you've got it in your mind, well, I'm going to be the discipline, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to get this thing done. And, you know, you ignore your heart, your intuition. And so as we come to tonight's message, I want to kind of review a little bit, because we've gone over some very really cool topics. And I just remembered I put some notes in my pocket. So Ephesians 1, do you remember how many people have actually, I'm just dying and hoping that after this series or as a result of this series, some of you will get this passion to really start to read the Bible. I think you'll find it fascinating. And I've discovered in my own world, and I've had this book in my heart for 25, 30 years now, it doesn't get stale. And even in the last, three or four months that I've been able to share with you, it's amazing how alive it's become and how real it's become to me and hopefully to you as well. But remember in the first chapter when Paul starts off, and it was right before his prayer, it's the setup to his first prayer, and he has like Ephesians 1, 3 through 13, I think. And in the Greek language, it's one long sentence. It's not a whole bunch of sentences. It's like this little kid running home from school saying, Dad, this is what happened to me at school, blah, 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 blah. And the excitement, there's this incredible excitement to it. And Paul says, you know what? There's a narrative about your life that God says about you. And we talked about it. You know, how often do we get mixed up in somebody else's narrative about our life? You're this way, you're that way. And we've got these little things in our brain. And it might be our people we work with, people in our family. And oftentimes it is people in our family. I remember Jesus, you know, the prophet's not recognized in his own town because it's a different thing. And so if you think about it, the narrative that we need to capture in our own thinking, our own mantra, is the narrative that God has about us. And in brief, he says, you're blessed with everything. You lack nothing. God chose you before the foundation of the world. He redeemed you by his own blood. He gave you the Holy Spirit as a foretaste of eternity. And he's got a future inheritance that's fantastic. He says, you are the children of God. You are privileged. You're winners. You have treasure inside of you. You have dynamite, dynamic power inside of you. And the only reason that you don't experience that and that I don't experience that oftentimes is because we're either tied up in somebody else's narrative about us, about who we are and about the direction that we're going, or we're tied up in our own self-will trying to get there on our own, in our lower nature, in our flesh, they call it in the scriptures. But Paul says, look, his first prayer in the first chapter, he says, God, I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him so that you might know what is the hope of his calling in you. To him be the glory forever. And so in the first chapter, there's this incredible foundation built. And he's saying, you guys rock. When you open your hearts up to the living God and you surrender to his love and understand his sacrifice, there's something that dynamic that happens. Chapter 2, just in review. We talked about sin. Remember? Sin. I think some of you in the beginning, sin. Well, what do you mean? Not the Baptist version of sin, but the biblical version of sin. And if you look at the context of Ephesians chapter 2, there's an external view and an internal. They talk about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. Is that so many times we look for meaning outside of us? You know, the things that feel good, the things that are egotistically good, Oh, I know so-and-so. You know, it's funny because I don't know about you, but I've been around a few powerful people in my life, and it's fun to be around them because they can wiggle their nose and they can make a lot of things happen. And there's just something very powerful about that. But the reality is, we need to begin to look inward, because when we start to look outward for the meaning of our life, we get mixed up, we get confused, and we don't accomplish the purpose that God has set us on earth, as opposed to the contrast of looking in and up, listening, being in that place where you can hear the still, quiet voice of the living God inside. So defining sin is really looking in and up. That's the good way. And when you look outwards about acceptance from other people and, you know, what are they going to think? And if I drive the cool car, you know, I'm going to be more esteemed. And, you know, I admit it, I want to get a Mercedes SL. I've been wanting one for years, maybe one day, but it's total ego. It's a nice piece of art, good machinery, but you know what I mean? It pulls on all of us in our own particular ways. You know, maybe it's the way we dress. And I got to up that game a little bit because I'm, you know, I'm standing in front of you now, and I got a new shirt last week. I was trying to sort of, no, just joking. So Paul talks about sin as something that if, when you look outward, you're missing the point. And the whole definition of sin in the original language is it's the idea that there's a bullseye and the archer puts the arrow and he misses the bullseye. Okay, so if we look out, we're missing the bullseye. If we look in, we're right on target. It's the idea of trying to jump the Grand Canyon and you might make it 6-8 feet out there, but the reality is you fall short. Okay, so inward thinking, spiritual thinking, as opposed to outward thinking. Then Paul talks about this incredible mystery, and it leads up to our prayer tonight, which I want to share with you. And he says there's a mystery of the ages that took him 18 years. Book of Acts says Paul took 18 years to relearn the scriptures. And it's kind of interesting because in my own journey in life, and I think when my dad passed about 12 years ago, and that's when I started coming to the church, and quite frankly, it opened, I don't want to say the interpretation, but it opened my internal world, because my external world was more of a Baptist-y kind of a deal, but it opened the internal world that the angels can come and speak. And I have shared this before. I've got a notebook full of messages in the first 6 months that I came here from 10 years ago. Very meaningful. It helped a lot of closure things that I didn't get when my dad was alive. And so Paul says, you know, in the ages past, that which I hung my hat on was all external. They thought that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to free the Jews from, you know, the yoke and the bondage of the Romans. It was all external. It was all in the world. And Paul realized that it was a kingdom that was internal. And he even talks about the religious people of the day that walked around and they were all pious and they said all the right things and they had all the right language and they dressed perfectly like good religious people. They would even be on the street corners and what they would say, "Oh God, I'm glad I'm not like the sinner. And I'm glad I'm not like the prostitute. I'm glad I'm pious and I'm righteous." So he went from this whole reality that he thought he was right on, and he missed the mark. He sinned. And when Jesus shined from heaven and said, "What are you doing?" it changed his world. So we come up on this, I just got a text message. I got to get, this may not be the best way to work. But, okay, here we go.
Maybe it's from God.
Yeah. Okay. So Paul comes up and he prays. And I'm fascinated by how do spiritual people pray? Have you ever thought that? You know, when I was a kid, you know, I always prayed for the good people or the bad people to be good and the good people to stay being good and, you know, kind of your basic sort of prayer. But Paul goes much deeper, and he really talks about personhood, about who you are, your natural state before him. And basically he's saying, you know, you're made in the image of God. Okay, and so this is what he prays. He says, for this reason being the mystery that Jesus the Christ would come down, take on the form of a human, do his work, create the bridge back to heaven, create the bridge to eternity. So there's a roadway, and I call that in modern terms. There's other biblical terms that they get kind of archaic, but the reality is he was a liberator. And he says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, it's kind of a mouthful. It's kind of a big prayer there. And there's a couple of operative, insightful things that I want to share with you. He says, let me just get this. Here we go. I pray that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith. And it's literally the picture of a dwelling, of a house. And there's a booklet, and I put them on the table right around here. I got one. I got 20 or 30 of them. And it's called My Heart's Christ Home. And it's the idea that in Revelations, there's a verse that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in and I will dine with him and I will fellowship with him. And it's the idea that when we have that encounter with God and we realize that we're really incomplete without opening our hearts, surrendering our will, and sitting in the presence of the God that loves us eternally and unconditionally, that when we get to that place, the Lord actually comes into our house. And this book, My Heart's Christ Home, and I want you to pick one. Oh, here it is. There's a bunch of them over here. That's what it looks like. Is the idea that the Lord comes into your living room and you have this fireplace going and just have this lovely intimate time, learning about his plans and things of wisdom and you know, ways to approach life. But then it is this guy, as he writes the book, he says, well, can you show me the house? And then he takes him to the library. Well, the library didn't exactly have all the kind of things that maybe would be pleasing to the Lord, right? And so he's kind of looking around, and he's getting a little uncomfortable, and he knows. And then he goes into the recreation room and all the things that you do for recreation that may or may not be pleasing to the Lord, right? And so he goes through all of these different places in your house, right? All the different areas of your life. And Jesus said to him, hey, look, I'm going to be down by your fire in the living room every morning, so let's just spend a little time in the morning together. Man, it was so good for a while. And then all of a sudden he gets busy and he's running around and he's running out the door and he sees the fireplace on, the Lord's sitting there, and the Lord's kind of sad because he got too busy just to have a little bit of time with him. Okay. So at the end of the day, the idea is that Paul is praying that the living God, the mystery of the ages, the power of the living God through his Holy Spirit dwells within us. And we become powerful when we allow the Lord to go through all the rooms of our house. And then he talks about this smell in the house, and it's coming from the closet, and there's something dead in there. He says, Lord, I just don't even have the strength. That I don't want you to see it. I'm ashamed. I'm really ashamed of that area. The Lord says, he's just kind of listening. And he says, I don't have the strength. He says, would you help me clean that closet out? The Lord says, I was waiting for you to help me. Just surrender it. Okay. So, you know, my problem is I go through times, I clean everything up, and then that stuff gets back in there, and it goes in cycles, and, you know, it's this process of life. So it's this constant thing about being in the presence of the living God and fellowshipping with him, spending time with him, understanding what God's calling is for you and for me. And it's really simple, that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith. And the result of that is that you experience this incredible love. It says, so that you might know the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. And you know, when you get to that place of real surrender, and I know so many of you do, probably all of you do at some point in time, you know, we go through these cycles. It's like, God, this gets so good. He loves me. It's a real thing. And then he says, and this is the coolest thing. He says, now that Christ is dwelling in your hearts through faith, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or think. To me, that's so powerful. And I think about, you know, projects that I've been crazy enough to take on, and I go, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through it. A couple of years go by and it's done, and it's like, wow, I made it. And you know, and I'm sure you have those stories in your life where you take on a challenge and you're going, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get there. But you realize that it's, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles is one step at a time, literally one step at a time. And so that whole thing about being powerful, you know how you get there? It's by being yielded. It's by surrendering to living God. It's by having your ear attuned to the voice of God. Have you ever had, how many people have friends when they call you up, they don't even say, you know, hey, this is Dan. I have people I call and I'll just start talking because they know my voice. And so, I'll call somebody and I'll just say, blah, 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 blah. They know it's me. I don't have to say, hey, hi, this is Dan. How are you? Blah, blah, blah. Because we have this connection. They know who I am when I call. Or vice versa. They call me and they just blah, 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 blah. I know their voice. And I think that's really where Paul's heart was, is that he wanted us to know the voice of God. And I have to say to you that in today's world, there are so many weird religions out there. No judgment for me. The reality is we need to listen to the voice of God, all right? And the character of God. And it's about love and it's about service. And so you want to have that power, you know, that ability to sit with the Lord and accomplish big things and move mountains. The reality is we have to come to this point where we continually, and I know that we have this experience where we yield to the Holy Spirit, where we talk to God, we spend time with him, we learn of him, and then we encourage people, and we deal in our lives with love. Because when we get to the next time I talk in chapter 4, the whole book of Ephesians changes. It goes from who we are to what we do. In fact, there's two there are two ways to break down the book of Ephesians. One is position and practice. 1-3 is your position, and your 4-6 is your practice. And then there's a wonderful saint. And I always like to mention books that I've read over the years. A Chinese a believer, Watchman Nee. Has anybody ever heard of Watchman Nee? N-E-E? One of the most fascinating authors I've ever read. It's been many years, but Watchman Nee wrote a book called Sit, Walk, Stand. And he says, first you have to see yourself seated in the right hand of the Father. You have to see yourself as a child of God. And then when you realize who you are, you can walk with confidence. You don't have to worry about what other people say. You don't have to be cool like everybody, because you're cool by yourself. And then he says, stand, sit, walk, stand. And then in Ephesians 6, he talks about the armor of God, which is very, very interesting. And but you know what, you guys? At the end of the day, it's for this reason. It's not so I can have power like the Godfather in the movie or the casino operator that is a little ticked off because George Clooney and Brad Pitt ripped him off for $38 million or whatever it was. He says, I'm going to get you. It's all about service. He ends up the first section on this thing. He says, to him be the glory. To him be the glory. And at the end of the day, it's really that you and I would be the light bulb of God. That we would be the light of the world. That through us, we could love other people and build them up so that there's no deficiency in anybody that you meet. Because we're building them up. You know that, what was it, Star Trek, Beam Me Up, Scotty? You know, it's kind of that idea that we don't have to listen to what other people's view of us is. Does that make sense? Is it hitting a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. So at the end of the day, Paul prays twice in this wonderful book called Ephesians, which was written for, and you know the thing that is fascinating to me, it was written 2,000 years ago. And it's still relevant today. You have to kind of get through it and whatnot. But I would so totally encourage you to capture that thing and put it to your heart. Memorize it. Take it with you during the day. Because at the end of the day, when we go to the other side, we want to be able to say, and it's like Millie says, you know, it's our love volume. When we get up there, your reward in heaven is your love volume. If you gave a little bit of love in this world, you're going to be kind of a little person up there. If you give a lot of love, you're going to be big. Make sense? You're up there. So, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the dynamic, literally dynamite, dunamis in the Greek language, the dynamic power of God that works within you. And it doesn't just work within you, well, it depends on if we surrender or not. But the reality is, God is always ready to work through you. It may not feel like it. It's about availability rather than capability. It's about showing up in life. And it's about loving people in a way that God loves you and me. Okay, I'm done.
No, I can't judge anyone else, I know that. But you know, as you watch people as they go through life, and when you can watch them for almost 15 years, Dan was although he'd gone to college and studied religions, because he wanted to work for God. But when I met him, he was really pretty strong hellfire and damnation. My goodness, I choked on that one. Hellfire and damnation. You were pretty well hellfire and damnation. You still had a lot of that Baptist fear in you. Okay, this is only my observation. Doesn't mean I'm right, Danny.
Well, no, let me say this, because there's that whole controversy. I just think that with all that God has done for us, I don't even go to the area where that you turn your back on God. I don't understand that. Because God is pure love. He's sacrificed. And it's like, okay, I understand God. He loves me. And I need to be in that pathway. And if you go off on those other things, I just don't go there. I don't think you... Why go there?
Well, I've seen him loosen up. And just step out there and be an example of love. I've seen that with my own eyes. Doesn't mean I'm right. I can't judge him, but I can tell you what I've seen. He's beaming. He's a light turned on. I did not see that in you when I met you, and all the paths that you have taken has loosened you up. And I'm not talking about this thought pattern. I'm talking about your life. And so when he has read the Bible enough that when he goes through it, he knows it, doesn't he? And God is love. So where's God? And what did you do for God today? What did you do to help yourself today as well as someone else? That's what we ought to ask ourselves each night. Well,